Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see.
Wow. Oh, my.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that
culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
You were feeling coquettish, I can tell.
Just a little swaying of the shoulders, you know.
Do you have love in your life?
I mean, no, because let's be real. Who's out here in Los Angeles, like, doing the damn thing on the reg?
You'd be surprised. Oh, wait a minute. This will be dated absolutely by the time this comes out. But apparently there was some... thank God I'm off Twitter, but the things that I pick up on every now and then when I check the Lost Culture Twitter, apparently there was a gay Twitter controversy today because people, I'm not sure where, people were planning through subtweets like a sex party situation. And I don't really know the specifics on this. I don't really, I'm sure I'll catch wind of details, but... what is going on? Gay people, let's just, gay cis men specifically, let's just like chill out until we get to herd immunity. Please, please, please.
I totally agree. We need to chill out with the sex party of it all. It's like, we don't need to recreate that experience that badly that we're going to jeopardize people's health. I get if people want to have sex. I have had sex. You know what I mean? Like, I think everyone has figured out how to have sex during the pandemic, but the
within
thing
a margin
is, like,
of risk, yes,
sex party,
yes, yes.
That means we need something else satisfied completely. That can wait. I think,
and we are not here to yuck anyone else's yum.
No, it's the damn pandemic.
That's all it is. That's all it is. And that's truly it. That's truly it. I'm just like, oh my God, what is the gays are truly losing it.
I can't believe that. I did not hear about that. I can believe it, but I can't believe it. It's one of those things. It's, you know, I think that once everything does return, things are going to be a zoo. Like, Aspenoff in LA is going to be an absolute, it's going to be like the red
wedding.
You
won't see me there because people will bleed. People will get hurt.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a sight for sore eyes.
Sore,
but I do think it'll
eyes,
be fun in a way,
say.
Like sore brown eyes because of all the fecal matter flying around when you're eating butt. okay, so this is what I think will be really fun, though. The first like big holiday after whenever everyone gets the vaccine, you know what is something that weird to think about is like my friend brought up the other day. What if you're in your friend group, like the last one to get it and like you miss a weekend? The vaccine.
But this is the thing. I think it will just, we'll look up one moment and be like, oh wait, no one's wearing masks. Like it's acceptable to not wear a mask out in public anymore. Amazing. Let's go see Chromatica Ball 2022. You know, like,
oh God, that'll be so fun. I feel like the amount of, this is what I hope for in the world, is that the amount that's been taken away and has been devoid of ability to continue, like now will come
back. Well,
like
a lot of economists are predicting like a huge boom, a period of growth, like that's all on the horizon.
We'd love to hear that.
But I think specifically the stuff that was supposed to pop off and launch March, April, May, June, July, like that's like spring through summer 2020, we have to honor that specific window of culture where things could not be permitted. Like the way Dua Lipa is doing it now is maybe, it's not even quite what I'm thinking, but it's like, I think we should have like, we should revisit as a collective group of people at some point when it's safe again, like future nostalgia and be like, oh my God, let's give this album the flag. I know it's been like a year and a half at this point, but we have to honor this. You know,
I have literally not been able to be with you in a space when Stupid Love is on. And I go, look at me,
girl. I think of you.
Literally, I think of you every time because of how much fun we would have with that song in particular. What, like, I know what happened. We would go up to each other, tap on the shoulder and go, look at me. Honestly, though, I feel like the last time I was like truly like joyful was probably New York City Pride that summer when everyone was there.
Very special.
Like when we were at Ty's party, I think it was the Devil's Playground at Bowery. Not Bowery.
Webster Hall. Yeah.
Webster Hall.
Oldest nightclub in the world.
That's what I meant. Yeah. But yes, I specifically think you're onto something with Dua and Chromatica, et cetera. And you know, the first thing I'm doing is going to see that Kelly Clarkson Vegas show.
Oh my God. First thing, and you'll have your vaccine card laminated and say, I got it.
Oh.
The chips are in me. Let me in, sir.
I'm going to wear my vaccine card like a choker.
Yes.
Like I want everyone to see it like right on my Adam's apple.
Like a literally choker. Sorry, I don't know why I questioned that as soon as you mentioned it.
No, I know choker.
Well, reader, it's day 8 of the 12 days of culture.
Yes, we are edging ever closer toward Christmas.
How do you think it's going so far, 12 days of culture?
I think we've made the point every day. The only day that I feel like we really couldn't get on the same page was yesterday. I just last episode was, because I feel like, and here's what I want to say to you, Bowen. If I pitch a rule, a day of culture, and you don't agree, I want you to be able to say to me,
girl, no. I would have never said that because I never disagreed with you. And I made that so clear yesterday.
You're right. You did make that clear. I guess what's shaking me is the fact that you had not seen that movie.
And you took it out on me by saying, well, it's as weird as what's weirder? You not seeing Jaws or me not seeing Sound of Music? You brought it to a new comp-lit space. You were bringing comparative literature to the conversation and were out to make me look like a fool. I'm sorry I'm bringing this combative energy. I'm sorry. Wow, I'm catching myself. Do you forgive me?
I do forgive you. I forgive you immediately. And I just want to say, I think that the reason why I got so edgy was because Jaws was such an important part of the culture for me that to know that my sister hadn't experienced it, it just caught me by surprise. Luckily, though, that is not the case for today.
No, not at all. This is a day that, as FDR said, will live in infamy. He was talking about this day, which is September 9th, 1999. I'm so sorry. We have to say,
on the eighth day of culture, it was
September 9th, 1999. Diana Ross jiggles Lil Kim's tit from below at the VMAs.
This was a moment of personal space invasion that was like the shot heard around the world.
The boob jiggle around the world. Lil Kim.
The little boob jiggle heard around the world.
Say that. No.
The little boob
heard
jiggle
around the world.
Heard around the world.
I mean, if we had title of ep for these episodes, that'd be title of ep.
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly.
So it's so funny that this is, this is something that I noticed with this moment, with this day, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tell you, I say the words VMAs, Diana Ross. What's Diana Ross, Lil Kim? And that tells the whole story. Is that correct? I say the words VMAs, 100%. Britney Spears, Madonna. That tells the whole story, correct?
Yes.
There's a third person missing in both of those scenarios. It was Christina. For Madonna. Do you know who the third person was for Lil Kim and Diana Ross?
I feel like
it's okay
should.
If you don't, because we've forgotten about her presence. At least I have until very recently.
So it was Lil Kim, Diana Ross, and I'm going to guess. I don't know why I'm going to guess this. Was it Anastasia?
It was Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. See, I knew it was another singer. Oh my God. Mary J. was there. And isn't it true that she had like a take?
What do you mean a take? Like she was like not.
Did she say something or did she disapprove?
So this is what happened. Mary J. Blige and Lil Kim were on stage together presenting best. I think it might have been Best New Artist. No. It was for some video. They brought out Diana to make this huge entrance, and she walks out and was sort of in her sort of comfort zone, or she was inconsiderate of other people's personal spaces enough to jiggle the boob. So she
did like, oh, look at this, and did boop boop two little jiggles.
Before that, though, I'm so sorry. I keep delineating the story, but Mary J. Blige and Diana Ross hug, share a long hug. You can tell they love each other. Mary is so happy to see Diana. Then Diana boop boops Lil Kim, and you look at Mary, her face falls. She is disgusted by this.
Just
very controversial to her, to Mary. And she disapproves. And I don't know who she's disapproving of. Probably Diana. Because she's been with Kim all along. I think, do you think she's mad at Diana Ross?
I think that she is disappointed that she had to see this. And I think that it's kind of like, oh God, I think it's one of those.
But
because the fact of the matter is, you let Diana Ross get away with everything because she is
careful,
the one, the only.
Everything.
But this was a moment in time where, you know, you got a question. And I think that I saw Mary J. Blige on Watch What Happens Live. And
oh, what did she say?
I think that recently, I think she said something like, yeah, it was a weird thing or something. And I believe, didn't Mariah talk about it in her book?
Mariah, I think, alluded to somebody it. Somebody talked about it recently. It was just like a little like disapproving too. It's like that, like, she's like, I haven't, in a way that was like, I've never had to do stuff like that. I think that was like the subtext.
Yeah, but it's funny because like at the time people were just kind of like, oh yeah, I mean, that was a funny thing that happened. It's kind of like, remember when at the VMAs, Jim Carrey was getting an award from Alicia Silverstone and he just literally kissed her on the mouth?
People were doing this left and right at award shows back in the day.
And Adrian Brody did it to Halle Berry. And it was just like, you can't just do that. But at the time, it was like the hilarious kiss that happened. But you can like see on Halle Berry's face.
It's such a Bush era thing.
She doesn't like it. Well, she played along with it.
Lil' Kim played along with it. Halle Berry played along with it. Did Alicia Silverstone play along with it?
Alicia was like, I think Alicia was a little bit more visibly freaked out.
Was this in the 2000s?
I'm actually going to look this up really quick. This was like early on, like when Alicia Silverstone was like at the beginning of her career. Okay, so this is what it is.
The award goes to Jim Carrey.
She looks amazing. She's giving the award. She's
I'm
the cutest
audio
in the world.
I love that.
So he wins it. And he goes up to her and
oh no, a gasp.
She hated it. She hated it. Oh my God.
Okay,
Bowen,
oh no.
It.
Okay, we're going to do this. All right.
She really hated it.
What year was this?
That's rough to watch now. Just type in Jim Carrey, Alicia Silverstone, and watch the YouTube video that says Alicia Silverstone.
Okay, the Emmys.
But I'm gonna look up when it happened. This was kind of crazy. We're literally kind of discovering this in real time.
Oh my God.
1997. Are you watching it?
Yeah.
Bowen is grimacing.
She is so uncomfortable. It. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I didn't listen to anything you were saying while I was watching it.
No, I was just saying, like, isn't it crazy?
That's really rough.
You don't love to see it. And the thing is, like, it's kind of like around this time, this was happening a lot.
Did I fuck up by including this day? I mean, it's a huge day in culture, but we're using this as an opportunity to examine award show behavior, which is always embarrassing, humiliating, awful. There's no way you actually genuinely look cool in an award show. I'm sorry, there just isn't. There's just such an air of desperation in the whole setting of it.
Well, I think that what's happened is we actually, in a way, internalized this behavior to the point where we didn't think it was weird enough.
What do you mean?
And now I think, here's what I think. I think we chose this as an iconic day in culture, and it is one of the days of culture. It just is. But along the way, we realized, maybe Diana Ross fucked up here. Because we're looking at other cases of it, and it's like, yeesh. And I don't think people, this is weird, but I don't think people talk about that Alicia Silverstone and Jim Carrey clip enough. Because that is weird. And also, another thing is the Adrian Brody, Halle Berry of it all.
Oh, so weird.
And when no one really talked about the fact that he just did that.
I think
it was always like they kissed. It was like, I don't think she was in on that.
I feel like I've heard a conversation around this in recent years where specifically, maybe only with the Halle Berry, Adrian Brody thing, where it's like, you can see on her face that she hated that.
And do you remember the next year when he presented to Charlize Theron and he did that joke before where he gives up the breath?
I remember even as like a 13, 14 year old rolling my fucking eyes at home, just being like, oh my God.
Like, ew.
Nightmare. He's disinvited. He's never coming. He's like one of the few people who will never be invited to SNL. Banned.
I mean,
he's not doing it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to shit on Adrian Brody's career, but he's bad.
The thing is, like, that next year after that, I remember when Charlize Theron did win the Oscar, here's what sucked. This woman has just right. won an Oscar. And on her way up to the podium, she has to think about this bit that you did, where now she has to, in the moment of her professional career and accepting an Oscar, think about how to complete this bit you started. And they did kiss on the lips very quickly. She's like, oh, yeah, sure, all
right. She was overjoyed. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, why not? Like, ugh, it's to echo that into the next year is so dumb. Is Adele Dazeem a similar offense? No.
No, I mean, Adele Dazeem is just an unpreparedness. And for me, there's nothing negative about Adele Dazeem because
that
I believe
got brought into the next.
Adele Dazeem was supposed to happen by God.
You're
I believe
right,
that
you're
God.
Right. I agree.
And he exists. I believe that
did
God
you pray for
made
art that
happen.
Day?
I did an art prayer that day. I forgot. There's actually been three times I prayed for art. Fergie's National Anthem, When Folklore was released.
Adele Dazeem.
And Adele Dazeem. I prayed for art that day.
The only reason I bring up Adele Dazeem is, one, because it's the number one moment in culture history. And two, although you won't mm-hmm. see it in the 12 Days of Culture, unfortunately. Sorry. No repeats
no.
from the list.
There's no
overlap,
overlap
from the list. But I only bring that up because Adele Dazeem was sort of rehashed the next year, and I was like, and I thought even that year, I was like, poor Idina Menzel, like, can't ever catch a break from this Adele Dazeem stuff, you know?
Yeah, I would say, like, it would really depend on how cool you were about that situation. You know what I mean? Like, well, she must have to be because it was so ubiquitous. The other thing is, like, something you do to someone else and then continue as a bit for yourself. I don't know. Didn't no. love Adrian Brody after that whole thing, but I will say this. This is so frustrating. Attracted to him sexually in, like, an
no.
intense way.
No, honey.
I don't know what to say about it.
You can, You can go find that person anywhere. You really can. I think
so. You think so? Yeah, 100%. Literally 100%.
I'm sorry. There's nothing that exceptional about him. I'm sorry. I'm a shallow ass. What?
No. I used to, you know, I kind of used to like his, like,
hair.
Like, he's got a little bit of, like, a crooked nose and, like,
beautiful
a
beautiful nose.
A, like, sort of like a. Like, I loved him. Remember when he was like, he was legit the romantic lead in King Kong?
Oh, with my Naomi God. What Watts. A disaster.
This Adrian Brody thing went deep.
But then I think, like, everyone in the industry wised up to the fact that he was probably a bad person or impossible to work with or inappropriate.
So what is the SNL thing? He said he introduced a musical guest at, like, a Rastafarian costume.
The musical guest was Sean Paul. And then he put on a fake, just a wig with dreadlocks and set it in a patois.
Oh, no.
So that's
okay.
We
well,
hate
we
that.
Hate that.
See, this is what I'm. It's like he's a nightmare. He's a nightmare, and that kind of
yeah.
masculinity, that kind of sensibility lives on today in screaming, yeah. screaming volume. So. It's too bad, unfortunately.
So I think the comparison is, like, Diana Ross comes along and juggles the boob of Lil' Kim, and I think she's doing it all in good fun. But it does say something about, like, when a woman is dressed this way, you feel you can do anything.
Right.
Because she was famously wearing the pasty. So it's
but
less
that doesn't,
like,
that's not an invitation.
Diana Ross, how
right.
dare you? No, but it's more of a, we have to recognize that this is not the truth. Like, she's in an like a costume or an outfit that doesn't mean you can just, even if you're a woman, come along and
right,
say jiggle, jiggle.
Right, right.
The contemporary narrative around Diana Ross is she is the beloved icon of RuPaul. She is
the queen of Motown.
Stepmother. No, not stepmother. She is the mother-in-law to is it Ashley Simpson? Yes, Ashley Simpson. And spends the holidays with the Simpsons.
Spends the holidays with Ashley Simpson and Jessica. And the dad?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how involved the dad is. When we say the dad, we famously mean their gay dad, Joe Simpson.
Joe, that's right.
Who now hangs out with lots of, well, we can only describe as twinks.
A lot of darkness in the world.
Oh, there's so much darkness in the world, Bowen.
Pandemic, gay Twitter, orgy planning, like, I'm sorry, beyond the pale
honey,
to me, like, you can't, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, 100%.
Like, everybody, we're all going through it. Some of us are doing better than others, but still like I'm lonely as hell up here. I'm not going to these. Anyway, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, if you really wanted to figure out group sex, you could definitely do that with two other people. And the thing is, like, I mean,
I don't know.
There must be something about it that's better than I realize.
If you want to act out your darkest, basest fantasies, buy yourself a game console and buy Cyberpunk 2077 so you can...
What is this? Because you totally were wrapped up in it the other night.
It's this open world video game that has been in development for like 8 years. It's made by the same people who made this game called The Witcher 3, which some people regard as like one of the best games ever made. I never couldn't really ever get into Witcher. I'm sorry, gamer readers. I'm not a Witcher queen, but
he's not The Witcher
with Henry Cavill. Yes. Yeah, so the show is based on the video game, hit video game. And it just came out, and it takes place in this dystopian world, of course.
Based on books, says Hans with an exclamation point.
Oh, The Witcher. Oh, yes. Well, Witcher was books. Oh, yes, that's what Hans is saying. But Cyberpunk was this tabletop RPG that was big in the 80s. Like, it was like a Dungeons and Dragons type of thing in the 80s, but it took place in the future. So they developed a game out of it. It's this big open world game. You can customize your genitals. There's no assigned like gender. It's very like cool. It's very like you just kind of do whatever you want, and then you can go just have sex with anybody, and that's wonderful. Customizable sizing. Yes.
Yeah, so Han says show and game both based on the books, two penis options with customizable sizing.
Cut or uncut, or you can have a vagina, or you can have no genitals at all. You can customize your pube shaving. I have my character has heart shaped pubes. It's beautiful, beautiful game, beautiful game.
Can I ask a question, sort of as the audience, as someone who doesn't understand the game? Why do you need genitals as the character? Like, why and why are they getting so granular and specific about the size, shape, and texture of penises? Like, are you fucking in the game?
You are fucking in the game, but you're not using your genitals in any sort of interactive way. It's just, I think it's truly just like a funny. There's a whole culture around these kinds of games, around the character builds, around customizing your character to look such a specific way. And since this takes place in this futuristic world where like there is no gender, like nothing matters, it's like, let's just take it to the full tilt and like make every part of this, like you, cause you're customizing your limbs. You might be able to, Hans, can you customize your genitals? Can you have robotic genitals? Sorry. Can you replace your genitals with robotic genitals with cyber genitals? No, he doesn't think
this
so.
This is insane.
So anyway,
it's funny because like, if I could customize my own body in a video game, I probably would look like the way they do in the video games anyway, which is tight, rock hard abs, small waist, huge smooth butt, big huge tits that sit high and right, and like sort of asymmetrical brunette haircut, like beat face, and like biceps, like you're a Batwoman. I love figure.
you would be. And then what are your genitals? Do you have a dick?
I don't have a penis. And create, if I have to create genitals for the game, I would like to have a vagina.
I love that. But see, the people are taking issue with Cyberpunk for not being able to customize body type. Like, you can only be one silhouette.
Oh.
But everything else, it's like the height of your cheekbones, you can like specify within like centimeters. But anyway.
If they're going to go the whole way, they should go the whole way.
I know. I kind of think it's a huge sort of.
I'm just surprised they're making the genitals such a thing.
Because it's a funny like press. It's a funny like guerrilla marketing scheme, I think, where it's like all people are talking about on Twitter is the fact that you can customize their genitals. It's a way of sort of tacitly promoting the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of fun. It's really dark. It's really overwhelming.
Han says there's a great bug where the genitals poke out of the pants, but it's more likely to happen if you choose a huge dong.
And let me tell you, I chose a moderately sized dong because I was like, this might as well reflect reality for me. And I don't have that bug where my dick pops out of my pants.
I guess it's just like, if I was creating a character that needed to be mobile, from experience, I know that it's not good for them to have a huge penis. Because I know how difficult it is. I think that I know how difficult it is to navigate the world with my enormous, thick dick. It's not as tactical as Han says. So I would never impose a video game character with this donger I have. This absolute boat. This big fucking... The only word you could use is schlong. And let me tell you something. It's like a crocodile's tail. If you get hit by it, you're fucking dead. So you better wish that I am not in a room where they are playing Dua Lipa Future Nostalgia, especially the levitating remix featuring Madonna and Missy Elliott. Because if they are playing that, I'm swinging my reptilian crocodilian penis, and it has green spikes. Crocodiles are green, yeah.
I think, or that's alligators. No, I don't know.
Are they all brown? Well, the only difference between alligators and crocodiles is alligators are in Florida and North America, and crocodiles are in
other parts of the world.
Other parts of the world.
Now, this has been a really interesting conversation because I was ready to celebrate Diana, but then we were like, wait a minute.
But then we were like, wait, is she sort of assaulting someone?
The answer is yes.
But I believe that she wouldn't do it again.
She wouldn't do it again. Lil' Kim, I mean, I don't really know. I don't really know how Lil' Kim feels about it. I mean, in the moment, she's kind of playing along, laughing, being like, it's such an honor to be with Diana Ross. Because then Diana Ross, because what I didn't tell you is, and maybe you remember this, but Diana sort of like pulls in Lil' Kim and Mary J. Blige like close to her. And she goes, look at us, the new Supremes. And Lil' Kim is like, yes. And Mary J. Blige is stone cold.
Wow.
Just nothing, giving you nothing.
Unbelievable. Well, the thing really is like, if you're Lil' Kim, you kind of have to be like that in that moment. Because what are you going to do? Be the person who screamed at Mary J. Or not Mary J. You be the person Ross. That snapped at Diana Ross for doing that. At the time, guaranteed Lil' Kim would have gotten the worst edit and the worst read from the media had she not acted exactly the way she did.
Had she even like micro grimaced?
No, she would have been like the like rapper bitch who dared disrespect Diana Ross, who was just having fun. 100%.
Right.
Who's to say if that happened today, that wouldn't be the same thing? Like, it's still tough, like, to be in a moment like that and know in that second that it's happening, that there's going to be a narrative about it. Like, I'd be so in my head if I was like...
100%.
These people put in these public situations, like, after... Kanye did that to Taylor. Whoop.
I mean, that might have been a reset in terms of award show behavior, though, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, thank God they have to social distance. No one can get up to Taylor's Moon Man.
I don't think she won one this year. Or no, she did win one this year. She won a Moon Man.
Maybe she'll win them a lot forevermore.
Who knows? I don't like that she broke her aesthetic by making Evermore color. I'm sorry.
Or maybe it's a hint into the new aesthetic. We still at this time have not heard it.
At this point, it's been out for a week, but y'all, you're listening to a world. You're listening to us dispatch from a world where Evermore has not been released. So,
and we will know within hours if the colorful album art says something, or is just a breaking of an aesthetic and therefore can never have Bowen's respect.
Ever. Well, can I just say something, not to pat ourselves on the back too much?
You can say anything to me.
I think we're giving a beautiful mosaic, or no, just we're giving variety in each episode of 12 Days
texture.
Of Culture, different kinds of texture.
It's very Rothko what we're doing.
Very Rothko. We're giving different...
It literally is.
Yes. We're giving different kinds of discussions in different episodes. We're giving you chaos in one. We're giving you sober ruminations on assault. We're giving Blocks of feelings. And you better believe we're going to give you more blocks, right?
Blocks incoming tomorrow. But for now, what we want to say to the day, September 9th, 1999, when Gianna Ross jiggles little Kim tit from below at the VMAs, we want to say,
and I want to thank you for giving me the best day.
No, I didn't.
Did I?
And every day
you want to thank you. What is it? And
I'm just going off of the key you're setting in the beginning, which is, so here we go.
And I want to thank you for giving me the best.
Are you sure? See,
you're dipping too far.
Thank you. Well, giving me the best day of my life.
See, I don't think it's, well, I don't know. I think we're both right.
We're both right. Sorry, Matt. I'm
you are, will you forgive me again for being, bitch.
Will you forgive me again for being a bitch?
I'll forgive you again.
Thank you.
I don't think you really were a bitch. I think you were trying to constructively help me. I was in the wrong key. Nothing worse for a gay person to be than in the wrong key. Rather except, be in the middle of the ocean.
Except at that gay Twitter orgy.
Oh.
Have fun fucking a blue check with 300 followers.
Hey, mama, have fun contracting the virus.
Hey, mama.
Hey, mama, congratulations on that virus. Good luck booking that vaccine you speak of. We gotta go. Bye.
We gotta go. Bye.